Hello, hello, all my death talkers out there, and welcome to Death Doula Unscripted, where we navigate the territories of morality and end-of-life care. Today, we embark on a profound journey, for me, to what I unravel the complex tapestry of how we perceive our own deaths. Our perceptions of death in this country shape not our own beliefs and cultural practices, but also influence how we approach the end of our lives. How many of you have ever been asked or asked yourselves, how am I going to die? How do I see myself dying? Where do I see myself dying? When do I see myself dying? As a child, all these questions were asked of me. Usually every other Sunday dinner, we would go around the table and swap stories. And as a kid, the where would always be in nature, whether it was a beach or a mountain or a creek or the valley, or I grew up in El Paso and went to New Mexico a lot, so I even considered the beautiful desert sky at night. I mean, the stars are just literally to die for out there. And I would just find a place and I would lay down and I would die. That was my whole envision, just so long as I could encompass nature. I don't remember there being like my mom or my dad or anything in my story. I mean, I'm sure there was. I'm sure I just took it for granted. But that seemed to be the basic story that floated in my head. And even today, it's still the same story for me. I see myself in nature for my last 24 to 48 hours. I see me embracing all my faculties still and getting ready to put everything into perspective, do my spirituality. I will have already met with my children. We will have had all the lists and things on my planner that we will have checked off and done. And I will pleasantly be able to say, yes, on this date at this time, I want to drink my Kool-Aid, so to speak, and be on my merry way. And that hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, it's just gotten stronger and stronger as I've gotten older. And of course, you know, this country has a really odd perception of death and how it should be. And part of that is all religious connotation. And, you know, how you were raised, I guess, to what degree, but you know, everything I read in religion, pretty much you got to suffer, 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 and then maybe you'll go and die in paradise and, you know, be happy and you'll go to heaven and, you know, see your family. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just narrows and makes it a very, very small circle of not very much leeway to expand on the thought process of death and maybe make plans to do it another way. So anyways, how do you see your death? Most people that I talk to, they see it just like I explained it. You sit down, lay down, and you go to sleep and you die peacefully. Good plan. Really good plan. And if it would work for everybody, I would just say make that plan and let's be on our merry way. However, the science and the numbers don't really line up with that. Less than really 1% of the population actually dies in that particular manner. And even if they do die in what we say a very peaceful manner by just going to sleep, that's not necessarily the case. The body will still engage in doing its things that the body does when it dies. It may super fast track it because of what's happening. It may make it go so much faster, but it's still happening. The breath, the body movements, the jerking, the last breath, and then even the last bodily fluids, you know, all this occurs. And so it could be traumatic for the person next to you or next to the person who's dying. They may get a few brief moments of panic, but it's brief. So your trauma and everything will probably be not too bad either. Now, having someone die in your bed next to you, that's a whole different episode. That's a whole different story. And we'll go on that tangent road sometime soon. Quick and painless is the second way that I hear people. And this has a lot of question mark, quick and painless. Does the category, is it too broad? I don't know. I do know quick and painless for me means something like stepping off the curb and getting hit by a bus, being at the wrong place and time and being shot and killed, perhaps having a heart attack on the street and not being able to be resuscitated. Quick and painless also in some part of my mind is also suicide. And I don't like that word, but it's the only word we have. And I do think that it is an awful, awful word. And again, another episode, I will go into that and how we should just totally abolish that word. It has connotations of just evilness. But for this particular podcast, I will even throw in the word and action suicide as quick and painless. People will argue with me all day and long, and that's okay. You have your opinion and I have mine, and man, that's what makes this world pretty terrific. So then there's everything else. Then there are all the ways we don't want to see our death go. We don't want to see it long and drawn out and suffering and degrading and without dignity. And we don't want to have every piece of the burden fall on all of our loved ones. We don't want the trauma. We don't want the guilt that they're going to feel. And there's the fear of how long and how much pain. And even if I do get the good drugs, am I going to be a zombie? Am I going to be able to participate in any part of the world? At what point do I really want to draw the line between quality and quantity? And so this is where the death plan really comes in. This is where the how you see it really comes to pass. And it requires some really in-depth thinking. It requires some talking. It requires planning and researching. It is, by all means, the death is really your last choice in this lifetime. And if you are of sound body and mind as much as you can be for your age, if you are well organized and planned and you know that this is how you want to go out, this is the last choice that you get to make, then yes, everybody should be entitled to make it no matter what. One of the things that also comes with how you see it, a lot of people don't want the lingering in the house and the death vibe to just, you know, take over the whole house. And maybe the children are going to live there or the grandchildren. Or a lot of us just don't want to leave that legacy behind. We don't want to leave that form of vibration, that energy. That's another reason that a lot of people like myself are actually planning to, you know, plan our own deaths. I don't want mine in my house. I don't want that energy to be left behind. I don't want it to soak into the house. I don't want it to soak into my children or my grandchildren. I don't want any of them to be truly around me when I die. We will have had all that time beforehand. We will have put all our ducks in a row and laid out all of our ceremonies and rituals long before that. Seeing your death as peaceful and quick is cool. It really is. But make sure you have a backup plan. Make sure that just in case you happen to get the dementia or Alzheimer's or Lou Gehrig's disease or Parkinson's or, you know, a million other things that we could go. Perhaps you're going to be one of those that it's already started now. You're probably in your 30s or so, maybe your early 40s, and the chronic illness has just encompassed your entire body. And not only is it that, but your autoimmune doesn't work. And there's just not a lot of quality of life. And it's not going to get any better. So have a plan. And there's nothing wrong with planning a good death. Regardless of what everybody says, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. How many backup plans should you have? I don't know. What are the possibilities of how you could end up dying? A lot of this has to do with your medical history. You know, I would focus on solely what seems to be in your family, in the realm of your circle. The other thing is, talk about the long-term grief that's going to happen if you don't have a plan. Talk about how it's going to just be a weight on your shoulders to carry something and to do something at the very end of your life that you have no desire to do. You're simply just following through you're just going through the normal steps of, okay, this is how it should be. And what a horrible way to die. A horrible way to die. And, you know, we make such a big decision about birth and bringing a child into this world, and it's a huge decision. Death is the same thing. It really is. It should be all about you. You made it this far in life, and it's a perk to be able to decide your death. For me, it is, anyway. I have a death plan workbook that I kind of have put together over the years. Mostly it's just my own little version of a journal. But I have anything and everything in there, from plants and your animals and questions you should ask your doctor and how to find a maid doctor. Have you looked for it? Have you researched it? Do you know all the states where you can go and have dying with dignity or euthanasia or medical aid in dying? Do you know all the countries that are available to you? Should you be able to do that? One of the things that I say a lot is there's only about 11 states right now in this country. There are so many more that are getting on the bandwagon. And yes, they are trying to work with legislation to get it done. But there are 11 states currently right now that are rocking the death movement. They have dying with dignity. They have medical aid in dying. A lot of them have lifted their residency. So you don't even have to be a resident in that state. So the death movement is definitely becoming more of a vocal point, which thrills me to no end. It's also becoming a little bit more open-minded, which thrills me to no end. My ancestors are just, you know, they're doing a whoop-whoop dance. But especially my grams, maybe my mom too. And so, yes, but there's also some other things that are happening on the death movement front. The federal government just recently passed a bill about draining funds from the hospice and moving it to other programs. And this really, really not only just pisses me off to no end, but it also disappoints me to know that the federal government would rather take from the vulnerable and dying than find another viable solution to their money problems. I don't get really political on this particular platform, but to me, this one truly was, if you can make trillions of dollars to build the Boeing, whatever jet drone latest thing is, but you have to drain my hospice funds for our people, shame on you. So pay attention to that. A lot of the hospice programs in this country will be highly affected by that. Home hospice is going to be especially affected by this. Check your insurance. find out what part of insurance you may need to get if this is something that you're going to do. In a lot of states, you don't have a choice. It's simply hospice. You don't get the choice of dying with dignity. You don't really get to plan your death other than, do I want it to be long and horrible and suffering in a hospital? Or do I want to go home and have a hospital bed in my house and have it, you know, be smelly and put so much burden on my family and just, you know, it's trauma and based all the way around. So you'd have to just pick really in these states, the lesser of two evils. And home hospice is about as good as it gets. And there are some wonderful, wonderful people that, you know, work in that industry. There are beautiful caregivers. I'm a caregiver and, as well as a death walker. So, yeah, for those that, you know, have planned hospice or, you know, that's what is the choices that are being offered to them, then yes, there are resources and stuff that will make it less barbaric, but nonetheless still barbaric, when, especially when you have things like dying with dignity, medical aid in dying, and so many other resources that are already out there and available for people. What keeps us from really sitting down and planning our death? So many things. Could be fear, could be culture, could be you just don't think it's that important. A lot of people just feel like they're going to wait until that last little minute whenever they get whatever news and they'll just figure it all out then. I can't say that's a wrong way or a right way. I can say it's a more chaotic way. I can say that there's more obstacles to come through. There's more resources, less resources available because you haven't taken the time or anything to research. The chances of having a good death in that particular instance, I have found, are far and few between. And if you do, you just happen to get lucky on that particular deal. Plan it like it was a daily routine. Plan your death every day like it was a daily routine. Look at your death plan. Has it changed any? Have you changed any? Have you gotten any new diagnoses? Is something changed in your world? Maybe you got divorced, so you're a one person now. How's that going to affect your death plan? How about your kids? You know, whatever the issue is, look at it as a daily, weekly, monthly routine. Just keep doing it. I already kind of sort of hit the highlight of just keep up with the death movement. You can find me on Facebook under Paula Adams. You can find me on Instagram at Dying on Your Terms. My YouTube channel's coming up shortly. And of course, you can find me on Spotify. And, you know, feel free to reach out and I will be happy to pass resources. I will be happy to help you even go through the workbook if you'd like. So this is just my way of saying it's really just something so important and it's not doom and gloom and it really could be what I call a good death. The other thing is really when you sit down to do it, visualize it. Do you see how it could play out? Do you see where it's going to play out? Do you see when it's going to play out? Do you see what, you know, when, how, what, when, and where? These are all very important questions. My when is, for me, is when I get my terminal diagnosis, which, you know, they usually say 6 months or less. That will be the start of the implementation of my plan. I do have a where. It's going to be in nature and it's a place that I will go to and I will have 24 hours to 48 hours before I do the medical aid in dying or the dying with dignity. Those two are, you know, I'm torn between those two and there are two different death plans based on, you know, one thing or another. So I know, like I said, I know the how, I know the where. I know the when. I will pick a day and time. And the what, I still don't know. You know, it could be several things. It could be dementia. So that's the last question for me. And everybody should do that. And this place that I see, well, that's a whole nother story and a whole nother episode, but I got something in the works. It'll be a nonprofit. And yeah, it's going to be a really cool. And I'm just so, so honored that the universe has put the idea in my head and let me run with it. And I can't wait to bring it to fruition. I think it's going to just rock the death movement in so many ways, for the better, for the positive, for the spiritual, for really thinking and planning a good death and thinking it's a good day to die. These are good terms with positive energy. And imagine going out of this time and place on this planet with just, you know, that energy of, wow, this is my decision and this is how it's going to go. And man, I'm going to take one good look at the sunset and I'm going to take one last look at the creek. And man, can you smell the air? Look, I can see my kids' smiles. I can hear the bird. Then I drink the Kool-Aid. 10, 15 minutes later, I'm done. So for me, that's how it goes. The why doesn't matter. That's a whole nother episode and a whole nother time, and we'll get to it someplace. But my last thing is really, I want to leave you talk, and talk again, and plan again, and rewrite, and Google images of pictures and places and things that you would really just invoke your soul to plan a really good death. One of the things that I want to do is kind of reinforce a couple of things is by understanding and embracing our perceptions of death, we can cultivate a deeper sense of acceptance and preparation for the inevitable, like I said, a good death. As a death walker or as death doulas out there, let all of us come together. Let us continue to support and empower individuals on their journey towards a peaceful and dignified end of life. A good death, a good day to die. Empower me so that I can empower these people to leave this time and place with grace and dignity. And really and truly, I just want to say thank you for joining me on this enlightening exploration of perception of death. Until next time, may we embrace each moment with gratitude and grace. So much love, and catch you on the flip side.